This is the web stream of KBOO Portland. KBOO is 100% community supported. If you have not yet become a member, go to the website kboo.fm and click on the tip jar.
They'll make a bundle just on Portland alone. So I really want to tell you that we're going to do this. This is KBOO, 90.7 FM in Portland, Oregon. And this is the Abe and Joe Talk Radio Show, Abe Proctor and Joe Uris. I'm Joe. Abe can't be here. He has to work. And we do really have a big show, but I want to do a couple of things just so you know. I'm going to quote from an Oregonian editorial from yesterday, and I'm going to quote fully a letter from a person who wrote into the Oregonian, whose letter really should have been an editorial in opposition. One of the things I want to say before I go any further with this is the media in town have not been fair on this issue. They have not presented one side and then the other. They have not looked at the objective material. They have essentially taken the position that I hear from so many people with college degrees in the healthcare fields and so on, with an assumption that fluoridated water is a good idea. Now, stop there. Is it a good idea, therefore, for everyone? I want to make a very brief point because it's important. All of you, here's a thought experiment. Imagine somebody invents a additive to the water system of Portland. This additive truly does raise the IQs of children by 30 points. This additive truly does reduce the likelihood of infections by viruses by 70%. What a wonderful idea. Therefore, the argument goes, since this is a good public health measure, let's have everyone have the additive. Gee, why not? Well, here's why not. There are people for religious reasons, people for ethical reasons, people for health reasons, people for innumerable reasons who do not wish to use the additive. Now, let's make a distinction here. This is not a vaccination. This is not dealing with a communicable disease. This is dealing with a health condition, and it is therefore, it seems to me, analogous to what I'm saying. The city, the state, the United States government does not have a right to force you to improve your intellectual abilities, to force you to take something that will reduce disease in your life. It should make that available to you by a variety of means, but to force you to do it is clearly a violation of your First Amendment rights, a violation of the whole principle of your right to select your food and your health care and so on. I'm very disturbed by the lack among liberals of understanding of the implication of putting fluoride in the water for all of us. It blows, as we used to say, my mind. And I'm very, very, very disturbed about it. Now, what I'm going to do is I am going to first read a couple of items, and then I'm going to introduce Kelly, and we will talk about what's going on and where their campaign is and where our heads are at. And I'm going to try to get some callers in. It may be a little less call time than we would like, but hey, once in a blue moon, why not? First, I want to read a letter to the editor that should have been an editorial in the Oregonian. By the way, the Oregonian has said repeatedly recently that it is not welcoming guest editorials on the issue of fluoridation. They're shutting the anti-fluoride people out with an argument that they're just kooks, that they're just bad people, that they're just wanting to see children's teeth fall apart. Look, this is a major public health change. This is adding medicine to water. This is not about vaccination. This is not about contagious diseases. This is not about public health in the usual sense. This is a effort to change the quality of our water. It is a profound change, and although it is common all over the United States, it doesn't mean that it is something you or I would want. But we don't get the information if the papers won't publish the arguments pro and con on the issue. It's very disappointing. All right, I'm going to read this letter. This is by Brooke Jacobson, an old friend, full disclosure. It's a cheap fix for a major public health problem, said my dental hygienist when I asked about adding fluoride to Portland's water. I wondered. Cheap fixes can have serious consequences for long-term social policy. The public health problem we aim to fix with fluoridation is rooted in poverty, poor nutrition, poor access to medical and dental care. child poverty increased from 37.8% in 2009 to 44.2% in 2011. The Oregonian reported childhood poverty creeps up on April 23rd. Yet, in the face of that increase, a draft of the 2012 SMILE survey, which is the basis for their support in this pro-fluoride fight, the SMILE survey reports improvements in the dental health of early elementary school children. Kids' dental health improves, Oregonian, April 25th. The report recommended oral health and early intervention in community and community-coordinated care, public school-based oral health programs that administer fluoride applications and dental sealants that have been proved safe and effective as ways to improve dental health in children. It seems to me that the up to $7.6 million of the city of Portland could spend on fluoridating our water might be more effectively used to expand health and dental services for children. Now, in kind of response to that, the Oregonian came out with an editorial opposite on the same in the same section of the paper, essentially saying, I'm not going to read the whole thing. I thought I would, but it's too tedious. I just urge you to look at it. It's really not very logical. It says, it seems that the Clean Water Portland, which opposes fluoridation, has been doing some campaign advertising masquerading as a poll. So what the Oregonian says is that the Clean Water Portland crowd have been pushing, using a push poll to say, to urge people to consider the fluoride issue. Now, push polls are admittedly an ugly tradition in America, and I'm not going to make an evaluation of the poll itself because I haven't experienced it. But here's, according to Ryan Cost of the Oregonian, the following nugget of quote-unquote nasty. Did you know that fluoridation chemical at that the Water Bureau would add to our water is called fluorosilicic acid, pardon me, and is not a naturally occurring fluoride mineral or even the pharmaceutical-grade fluoride, pharmaceutical-grade fluoride in toothpaste? Instead, fluorosilicic acid is an industrial byproduct of the phosphate fertilizer industry. Okay, so some poll, huh? The fake poll tactic, blah, blah, blah. And I agree, you push polls are not a fortunate thing. But I really, 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 really think that this question of where the fluoride comes from is being belittled by the major media. Look, if you look at the ballot measure, it just says we should add fluoride to the public waters. It doesn't say it can't come from Chinese waste products. It doesn't say it can't come from the fertilizer industry. It doesn't say it can't come from the aluminum industry. It doesn't say anything about the quality of that fluoride. And there's nothing in the measure that is specific on this question. The Oregonian editorial closes. Nothing is going to stop opponents from calling fluoridation additives and industrial byproduct of the phosphate fertilizer industry. Right, because it's at least partially true. And that's fine. In fact, let's go with it. What matters is that water fluoridation is safe and that the industrial byproduct added to water grows strong teeth as effectively as fertilizer grows big plants. So what do we say? What do you say we fertilize some teeth? Well, just going back to the question of fertilizer, many of our audience are interested in organic foods. Many of us doubt the wisdom of chemical fertilizers. I just bring that up because the quality of belittling, the quality of nastiness, the quality of I know better and you don't, that has characterized this campaign on the part of the pro-fluoride folks is outrageous. The fact that the newspapers don't want to really print enough material so that people can make decisions is outrageous. The fact that accusations are made by the people concerned with clean water and nobody in the press in this city actually goes and does the research to find out whether the anti-fluoride folk are full of it or whether, in fact, their points and their concerns have validity. And then there's my overarching civil liberties concern. I honestly do not believe that we can force people to do something that might be good for their health. Everyone taking it, people who drink 3 glasses of water or 30 have unlimited doses of the fluoride. Even if it was absolutely, provably, totally cool, if it totally gave people higher IQs, totally prevented diseases and so forth, you should not be able to force people, unless there's an overwhelming communicable disease issue, you should not be able to force people to take medicine. And that's what fluoride is. Now, fluoride does occur naturally, and there is a percentage of fluoride in our water, but it would be upped by 7 times at least the amount in the actual water. So I am. This is a rare issue for me. I am really, really, really angry about this. And I welcome calls, 231-8187, from people, particularly the pro-fluoride folk, who want to disagree with me. Meanwhile, in our studio here, we have Kelly Barnes of the Clean Water Portland Group. And, you know, I'm open. Make me an argument that I can relate to, because I'm having real trouble with this. It kills fish. I mean, I feel like a Rush Limbaugh of the left. I don't know even where to go with this. Kelly, help me.
Good morning. Thanks for having me here. Just so your viewers know, I am a volunteer for Clean Water Portland. However, I'm a physical therapist of 20 years. I've looked at the data. I have 7 years of graduate study. I'm a mother of 2 kids. And actually, what got me on board about a decade ago was my dentist, when there was a statewide issue, saying, hey, have you looked at the literature? I don't believe in water fluoridation. You might find, you know, your interest in looking at it. So I did. I got some of the dental literature, and I was really surprised to see that even then, a decade ago, an article in the ADA was saying that the benefit of fluoridation is topical. The CDC says the same thing.
Wait a minute, topical. That means you put it right on the teeth.
Yeah, said otherwise, don't swallow. And the CDC agrees. In 2001, they found that the science has changed and that the benefit is not by swallowing, the benefit's topical. I, as a mother, then began to look at the product, which is what you touched upon here. And let's be clear, if you go to Portland Water Bureau's website, you will see that the proposed product for our water fluoridation is fluosilicic acid, otherwise known as silica fluoride. And even the CDC agrees, when you look at the testing that they do have, there are levels of arsenic, lead, and other heavy metals.
Wait, but arsenic and lead, those are bad, aren't they?
Well, see, here's the deal, and here's how they frame it on the other side. Our EPA has been clear. Our public health goals for adding arsenic and lead to our water supply is zero. And what they say is, oh, don't worry, it's legal, it's small amounts, sometimes undetectable. But let's face it, undetectable does not mean absent. And even recently, last week, there was a sample that came out that from another city using fluosilic acid that had levels of arsenic and aluminum and chromium. I, as a mother, don't believe we should knowingly add more chemicals to our water if the ultimate health is preventing, is helping the health of our children, if that's our goal. In addition, I think it's important that, to as you mentioned, you know, the media likes to make us seem a bit fringe. I mean, I'm not fringe. You know, I'm a physical
therapist.
Oh, you
look very fringe to me.
And that's what we've been told. But I think that's to make this to be more of an interesting story. But really what matters is the public deserves to know, what is the data about this? What is the new K2 study that was out about a week ago show? Even the data that was suppressed by the Oregon Health Authority, or at least appears to be delayed, it was actually due to media reporting that these numbers came out. Multnomah County.
Well, wait a minute. Didn't in fact, the Oregonian have to use the Freedom of Information Act to get the data?
It's interesting. K2 was actually working on that for about 3 weeks prior to it coming out in the Oregonian. The Oregonian then broke the story somewhere around the 15th, I believe. However, what it shows is Multnomah County is down 10%. Oregon's down 19%.
But cavities. Yeah.
And if you look at national averages, the other side will say, oh, but we still have 50%. Well, the national average, according to the Department of Human Health Services, is 54%. We can always do better. But when we're above the national average and we're doing better than the 2020 oral health goals based on other alternatives, surely we need to be considering those other alternatives and not adding more chemicals to our water.
I absolutely agree with you. I want to be clear on this. I am absolutely convinced that this is a bad public health move. This, despite my own experience and background, I spent 3 years in medical sociology. I trained under a person I have enormous respect for and with whom I'm almost certain we disagree, Mitch Greenlick, who's now in the legislature. I want to make one more point on my own. The American Dental Association supports fluoridation. But the American Dental Association for years denied the reality of amalgam fillings for your teeth, the fact that they're made of silver and other products, including mercury, and that the mercury definitely leaches out of those fillings. There are alternatives. They should be used a lot, but the medical schools and the dental schools are very reluctant to change their policies, very reluctant to acknowledge, I think maybe because of the potential for lawsuits, the danger of those amalgam fillings.
Yeah, here's something. I can't really comment on that. I don't know the historical perspective too much, but I can say this about the National Dental Association. They're lobbying against a pilot study here in Oregon that would allow dental therapists to be trained. And they use this in rural Alaska and Minnesota with great success for a more cost-effective way of getting our low-income kids dental access.
Uh-huh.
So they're trying to get these therapists trained at OHSU, and currently that's being lobbied against by the Dental Association. Our goal is to get our low-income kids into dental care. And if you look at some of the misleading ads that have been put out, you know, comparing us to Seattle and untreated dental decay. Let's be clear. Untreated dental decay is about access, and we can do better here. We have less low-income clinics. There's a higher median income in Seattle. We have more people below the level of poverty. When we're looking at those misleading numbers, we need to be asking those who care about kids' health and low-income kids to get our kids into these programs. That's what's working in other states, and we can do that here, as the Smile 2012 survey shows.
Well, I know what's going to happen if this thing passes. I'm going to sue the city to require them to find me, I don't know what they're going to do, reverse osmosis, a device that removes the fluoride from my water. That's going to be expensive. And I'm going to win that lawsuit. And I even know a lawyer who's ready to go with it.
Well, you know, you bring up a good point. And if you look at the voters pamphlet, you'll see individuals such as yourself and your partner, and even Mike Lindberg, prior city commissioner, who's been told by his MD internist that he cannot drink fluoridated water due to arsenic. You know, normal filters like Britannia's don't filter out fluoride, only reverse osmosis. They cost at least $500 to $800. And what about infant formula? There's a CDC warning. On the CDC website, if you're using fluoridated water for your infant formula, your child's at risk to fluorosis. That's the first visible sign of too much exposure to fluoride. And 41% of our kids, according to the CDC, age 12 to 15, already have this adverse health effect.
Okay, I want to give some of our callers an opportunity, the number to call on this issue, whether you're pro or con for the adding of fluoride to the water. We do want to hear from you. The number to call is 231-8187. Carlos, welcome.
Oh, hi. I want to remind your listeners that you can deduct $50 from your state taxes next April if you donate $50 now to Clean Water Portland, because it qualifies as a $50 annual political contribution tax credit.
That's interesting.
And a lot of people don't seem to understand that. That's why I wanted to.
Thank you for the information. That's very interesting.
Thank you for that great reminder. And let's be clear to your viewers. Go down to listeners.
Would that they were viewers.
1125 Southeast Madison, and we really need your volunteer support and your donations, and $50 does come back to you. Today is the day to do that, cleanwaterportland.org.
Okay, and we have more callers, and I really welcome the calls. And let me be clear. I would welcome reasoned arguments in favor of fluoridation. So far, we have not had any. I have covered this issue. This is the third time. People here at the station are saying, "You're going crazy, Joey." Well, maybe. But this is really serious. It has, I think, been a sneaky issue throughout the country. It has never really dealt with the issues of human rights. It has never really made the distinction between, for example, saying, you know, because of communicable diseases, you need these shots in your children because those shots will, in their effect, reduce the possibility of deadly diseases. That's really important. This is not communicable disease related. This is related to the notion of dental health. And I do believe in the use of fluoride as a topical rinse or a topical addition for children. I do believe that we should have dental clinics for children and other people throughout the city. I see $7 million as being much better spent on general dental care than on this industrial boondoggle. Okay, another caller, 231-8187. Juan.
Hey, Joe?
Yeah.
I think, you know, this is sort of like that casino that was going in out in, where was it?
Troutdale. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's like they come in, they spend a bunch of money, they got their lobbyists, they get it set up, and then when the people put it to a vote, which was supposed to be in another year to give the, you know, we wanted a chance to say, you know, get our stuff in a row, so to speak, get ready for a campaign, they decide to jam through.
Well, that is interesting. Kelly, what did you want to say something?
Yeah, I just want to say something briefly. Thanks for that reminder. Our campaign was actually asking for a special scientific review for the May 2014 vote.
2014, not
which is when it was supposed to be.
Uh-huh.
And the last meeting that Mayor Adams and Randy Leonard had, they rushed it through. And let's be clear, I mean, Commissioner Fritz actually supported an independent review so we could do a fiscal review. This is an open-ended bill. If you actually read the language in the measure, you'll see that this is not yet defined. And our water rates have already gone up exceptionally high in Portland. We will be paying for this policy, and we were hoping to educate the citizens, because let's be clear, there is a reasonable basis for concern in the science. There is not scientific consensus, and even the National Academy of Sciences review report in 2006 shows particular risk to individuals with thyroid disease, diabetes, kidney disease, infants, and the elderly. So not only is it an undefined bill that we'll be paying for, there is concern in the science, there's not consensus, and something really important worth noting, in city after city where fluoridations occurred, low-income children are still at most risk of the policy. And it wasn't until in Vancouver, after 30 years of fluoridating, when they created their ABCD initiative program, that untreated dental decay went down 50% in 5 years. This was in 2005, after 30-some years of fluoridating. So let's be really honest in Portland. Our numbers are down. We've got better alternatives. Our low-income kids deserve more than more chemicals in their water. And we surely can do better here.
Okay, 2318.
Let me say one other thing.
Sure.
If this was a good idea, they wouldn't cram it through.
Well, I don't know if I can agree with that.
If this was an idea that could stand, you know, investigation and everybody looking at it and doing the research,
yeah,
they wouldn't jam it through.
Well, in regard to that, this is Joe, just from my point of view, the way in which this went down, with 18 months of secret negotiation and preparation, this is Randy Leonard and Mayor Adams' last hurrah. They suddenly shove it down us, and they insist that when in fact, there's petitioners that object and ask that it be put to the vote of the people, which they didn't want, they suddenly say, well, let's have this election and link it up with the measure for children. And it seems to me that that's a deliberate tactic. Gosh, if you care about kids, you'll vote for this, and presumably you'll vote for that. It is incredibly, incredibly counter-democratic.
Yeah, and here's the thing. I mean, a lot of people say, like, you know, we don't care about kids if we're against this policy. Our campaign does care about kids, and we are looking at the lack of effectiveness of this policy and the risk of adding further contaminants to our kids' water supply. So while I do think there's a political strategy of while they rushed it through, I mean, surely we deserve time to educate our citizens, and that's why I'm out here as a volunteer and a mom and a healthcare provider. I think it's important that we know all the data about this before we vote.
I absolutely agree. And having Kelly on the show just confirms my position. But I want to hear from you again. I welcome comments from people, particularly professional healthcare people, who absolutely believe in fluoridation of Portland's water. Maybe it's something about KBOO that we never get those calls, but I don't think so. I actually think they don't really want to debate the issue. All right, let's hear from you. 231-8187. Marie, you're on the air.
Hi, Joe. Last week I was on your show, and I'm calling from Hood River, and I want to just flesh out the 2 points I brought up last week.
Okay, and
that is that with the radiation coming over from Fukushima, it makes the thyroid issue even more serious, and fluoride is very bad for people's thyroid. And the reason is that in the chemistry, the table of periodic elements, fluorine and iodine are in the same family. So fluorine can enter where the iodine is supposed to be for the thyroid, and that's why fluoridation can hurt people's thyroid. And the second point I brought up is that people with mercury fillings should not be drinking fluoridated water, and there's an estimate, that's something like 41% of the population have mercury fillings, and I have some information here in front of me. Why is that? Why should people who have mercury fillings not drink fluoridated water? The reason is because mercury is an endocrine disruptor, and fluoride is an endocrine disruptor. Therefore, it is extremely, extremely potently bad for the endocrine system, which is our hormones, which is many, many, many functions of our whole body. This is like one of the core of our whole body is the endocrine system.
Mm-hmm.
And, Joe, I really wish Cable could do some more, even intense programs on the fluoridating issue with more science. And I have a quick little poisoned horse story, very quick.
Okay, quick horror story. Go for it.
Okay. This is in a county in Colorado, and there's a DVD which I could send to you all. And there were show horses, beautiful show horses, with these ribbons right on the barn wall, these beautiful ribbons they had won. They introduced fluoridated water to that county. Those show horses became desperately sick. They were losing hair. They were limping. They were getting desperately sick. A few of the horses died. A few of the dogs also died on that ranch. The owners went to the county, and they did all these appeals, and they got the fluoride out, back out of that county. And one last thing, while they were doing the fluoridated water, the horses would paw in the snow and drink snow water, and they tried very hard to not drink the fluoridated water in their metal containers.
Well, that's, yeah, it's interesting because, you know, the salmon, particularly according to studies by Native Americans, are reluctant to go upstream in fluoridated water.
A couple of comments, and thanks for your call. It's been well studied in the National Academy of Sciences Review that fluoride is an endocrine disruptor. This is one of the major findings of the analysis of those fluoride studies. And what that review did, because of it, our national government actually reduced maximum level of fluoridation by 40%.
Really?
The first reduction in 50 years after decades of presumed safety. It's also worth noting there's never been a randomized controlled trial for product. That's the gold standard of medicine. And also, just for your caller that just called in, you know, there are, if you look again at the voter's guide, there are veterinarians that oppose this policy due to downstream concerns for animals, including dogs and horses and things like that. And in regards to the salmon, what the other side will say is like, oh, don't worry, it's low enough concentrations, it won't affect the migration. But the bottom line is our rivers are already degraded. Do we want to knowingly add more chemicals to our water in the name of diluting them for public health? I think most people feel that's a bad idea.
Well, what really bothers me about this is fluoride is a good idea as a coating for the teeth of children. It makes sense. But the most efficient way of delivering it is as a rinse or as a pill that you chew and spit out or as a coating that you get from a dental person. All of that makes sense. What doesn't make sense is whole body fluoridation where there's enormous differences in the amount of water consumed. Taking a hot shower opens the pores and increases the absorption of anything in the water. This is weird. It's weird science, not real science. Let's go to the phones again. 231-8187. Joe.
Hey, this is Joe calling. First, I wanted to challenge that I think fluoride is good for your teeth if you have a crappy diet. If you have a regular diet, we don't need no fluoride.
Well, that I don't know. I actually think that using the fluoride, particularly for poorer people, and giving everybody access to early dental care is very important. But go ahead, Joe.
Anyway, what I really wanted to say is follow the money, or have you had success doing that? I hear the fertilizer companies are going to benefit. Can we follow that money to the Portland campaign?
Well, you know, you're raising an interesting question. I'm going to let Kelly respond to that.
I'd be speculating about that. What I can say is that when in the phosphate fertilizer production that, you know, by environmental law, they're not able to release this into the air or water.
Wait a minute. They're not allowed to release the fluoride into the normal environment?
Well, this is a byproduct of the phosphate fertilizer industry. So what happens is it's caught in the wet scrubbers. By environmental law, it's not allowed to be released in air or water. However, because they change the intention of the product and they dilute it, it can then be sold to cities. So you have to pay to get rid of it as a waste, but it's then sold to cities in the name of fluosilicic acid for water fluoridation.
Wait. Get this straight. It's a waste product that has to be disposed of expensively in the production of fertilizer and aluminum and other things. But if it becomes a health product added to water, the same product, then the companies can make a profit on it?
It's a diluted product, and that's how they get around that. And then again, according to NSF testing and CDC website, this product does have arsenic and lead and other heavy metals. So that's just an interesting question. And then in regards to your comment about diet, you know, no one is disagreeing that this is a broad-based discussion and we need to look at multifacets of it. However, when you look again at the low-income children that we all want to help and how this issue has been framed to help in Portland, we can again see that this policy has not been effective for low-income children in city after city on fluoridated chemicals. And I think it begs the bigger question, like, what are our better alternatives? They're not simply the topical fluoride and the sealants, although those are available at all schools for low-income children. If you look at Obamacare, that's including low-income oral health goals, so the state will be receiving more money for that. In addition, Healthy Kids, Healthy Oregon Initiative, in 2009, they had 11.3% of kids not enrolled. In 2012, that dropped to 5.6. If you again look at the new data, we are doing better with such initiatives. And again, that example in Vancouver is startling. After fluoridating for 30 years, rampant untreated dental decay in low incomes, not until they started their ABCD program, which is getting primary care interventionists to recognize this oral health issue earlier, did they have success in that city. We can do that here. We're creative. We have the means. And the emerging science shows a real risk. I mean, what do you say to 40-some thousand people in Portland that can't drink fluoridated chemicals due to hypothyroid disease, or those with diabetes, or those with kidney disease? The emerging science shows a reasonable basis for concern. We've got better alternatives than more chemicals in our kids' water.
Okay, I want to take some more phone calls again. Well, we're talking about the fluoridation issue. I'm hitting hard on this. It's on your ballot. What you need to do, if you agree with this or disagree, you need to reach out to all your friends, all your neighbors, all your acquaintances, and state why you are either opposed to or in favor of adding fluoride. This is something that you as a citizen owe to your neighbors and friends. And you should make the effort. Make those phone calls. It really is a question of who turns out to vote in this thing. And the way this election has been structured, it will favor the best-intentioned folks to show up and vote. And that's good. But there is a kind of, I don't know what to call it, a scientific faith-based notion that fluoridation has proved itself, that it's absolutely safe, that there's no downside to it. And that just isn't so. So let me hear from you. 231-8187. Mitchell, you're on the air.
Good morning.
Good morning.
This fluoridation, I really think it's easy to solve. I think it should be put into aerosol and released with the chemtrails that they're hitting us with.
Okay, man. I'm not going to go on the chemtrail thing. I don't buy that. And I just, it is so aside from the topic, I'm going to dump it. Sorry. 231-8187. Tyler, you're on the air.
Yes, I wanted to mention a point. I think your guest already mentioned it sort of in a little bit in passing, which I thought that the absolute best way to apply fluoride is in a controlled dose.
Right.
And so the best way to do that is through some kind of a fluoride tablet, because that you chew and spit out, because that way you apply the fluoride directly to the area that needs it, and it doesn't contaminate the rest of the environment. Like fluoridating water, if every time you water your yard, you're putting fluoride in your yard. So whole city fluoridation is a bad idea. Targeted fluoridation through a pill is a great idea.
Well, wait a minute. I have a real question here. If we're going to water our gardens with this, what about those of us who go to enormous effort to stay with organic foods? Well, doesn't this change the game?
I'm not an expert on that, but it just seems really stupid to put fluoride in your water supply that fluoridize your entire environment. But the point I wanted to make was that's why pills that target children are the best. And this is the thing that amazed me was that, and I think your guest mentioned this already, but Portland Public Schools provides fluoride pills to everyone for free if they want them.
So yeah, you bring up
we have a mechanism in place to provide fluoride to children in the very best way, and we don't have to do anything. They're already doing it right now.
You bring up some great points. If you don't mind, I can comment to them, especially the one about concentration versus dose. So let's be clear. The other side, those in support of this policy say some suboptimal concentration, and then it works for everybody. It's not a dose. Concentration is not a guarantee of how much we take in. The American Water Works Association is clear. 90% of this will end up downstream. And dosage is more specific to how much water you drink, how your kidneys work, how big you are. That's why there's a real risk to toddlers and infants on this policy. And that's why the CDC warning exists for using, again, tap water with fluoridation chemicals for infant formula. So you're absolutely right. Concentration is not dose specific. In addition, the Oregon Health Authority has stated on their website in February 14th of this year that combined topical fluoridation and sealant programs almost 100% prevent dental decay. They're almost 100% effective. That's an interesting comment that was changed during this campaign. We don't know why. However, what's important about that to note is that CDC sealants are used more in the state of Washington. Again, when we're compared to Seattle, you have to look at these numbers. And according to the CDC, sealants prevent dental decay by 70%. We can do better here. We've got better alternatives than adding more chemicals to our water, especially when concentration is not dose specific.
Okay, I want to remind everybody, you're listening to KBOO 90.7 on your FM dial. This is Joe Uris. This is the Abe and Joe Talk radio show. We are talking with Kelly Barnes. I am on a tear on this issue. I am convinced that this is fluoridation is, for ethical reasons, something we should not support. It's being forced down our throats, literally. It's a case of dosing individuals with uncontrolled amounts of fluoride. It's a case of not allowing people to opt out, except those who are very, very wealthy. It's a case where the data is mixed at best, and it is, you want to talk about a nanny state, this is the ultimate of that. And I want to make another point clear. If you require vaccination because of communicable diseases and you need a certain percentage of the population to be vaccinated for it to work, that's one thing, because it's communicable diseases. Caries, tooth decay, is not a communicable disease. It is a public health issue, but it is not something that if I don't fluoridate, you will be hurt. You know, so that's really important. All right. Let's hear from some more folks. And Kelly, do you want to say something?
Yeah, a question just came into the studio. So just to be clear about this, Portland Public Schools does actually provide free fluoridation tablets and or dental sealants when they're needed. In addition, any low-income child in our state due to the Oregon Health Initiatives, can have dental care.
Really?
This is a matter of getting our kids into these programs and helping barriers such as English as a second language. We can do this here. We're resourceful. We're creative. Where there's a will, there's a way. When the data does not show effectiveness for low-income kids, I will again say we have better alternatives than adding more chemicals to our kids' water. And yes, just to clarify, these programs are already available at schools for any child who wants them. The parents are allowed to opt into the programs. It's a matter of educating and doing outreach.
Why isn't there more publicity about that?
Well, that's a great question. Why is there not more publicity about Obama's health care plan and more dollars coming into the state?
Really?
Why are people not talking about federally funded programs like First Tooth that allows training for doctors and nurses to target these kids at earlier ages, even earlier than age 5?
Okay, I have to do some KBOO business here. I've got to tell you what's coming up this morning on KBOO. At 9 on Alternative Radio, Thomas Lindsay of the Community Environmental Legal Defense Fund speaks on corporations, communities, and the environment. At 10, hear Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary with Chris Andre. At 10:15 on Flashpoints, chemical weapons in Syria used by U.S.-backed rebels, according to the U.N. Also, anti-torture activists gear up to protest Bush's pro-torture proponent John Yoo's participation in this year's UC Berkeley Law School graduation. At 11 on Stage and Studio, D. May Roberts presents Ingdoc Hay, Frontier Herbalist. Ingdoc Hay over in John Day, as a matter of fact. Frontier Herbalist is part of the Asian Pacific American Heritage Month. He was an amazing Chinese doctor who survived in a very racist time in Eastern Oregon, and who actually was, through Chinese herbs, able to deal with issues like staph infections, which usually in those days, if they were severe, meant the loss of a limb. Kind of a cool guy, really. Okay, then, at 11:30 on Art Focus, Joseph Gallivan interviews Diane Durston of the Portland Japanese Garden about the show of sculpture by Isamu Noguchi, the famed Japanese-American artist, who really is very good, by the way. Thanks, KBOO members, for your generous support for this radio station. If you're not a member, you can become one by going to kboo.fm and clicking on Donate Today. And really, folks, $40, come on, you should do it. All right, 231-8187, We're here with Kelly Barnes. This is Sandy? Kenny. Oh, Kenny. Excuse me, man. My ears are just full of wax. Go ahead.
Hey, I'm really, really disappointed in Oregon. I moved here 16 years ago because, you know, it's like one of the only states left that was staying green and this and that. But, wow, we came a long way here. Why we're even discussing putting this into our water is beyond me. It's a no-brainer. It's poison. I mean, come on.
Well, yeah, but I think that I'm finding myself in an odd situation here. In defense of the folks that believe in it and that think it's a good thing, including a large part of the medical and dental community, their perception is that they can help children and adults avoid tooth decay. So I don't think there's a malign intent here.
I'll do that for a second. I think. I mean, it's all payoff. It's all lobbyists out there. I mean, come on, open your eyes. Do you really believe that the people here believe that it's good for our kids that are trying to get this pushed through right now?
Well, I can't speak to that.
I know you can't, but I mean, it's kind of obvious. The writing's on the wall.
Maybe I can speak to that. I have met with many of these individuals, and I have met with policymakers throughout the city, and I do think that these individuals actually do have good intention. However, I do not feel that they're necessarily looking at the emerging science and the reasonable basis for concern. There is not scientific consensus on this issue, so well-intentioned people are not necessarily looking at all the new data. And I think it's important and worth noting historically that science has changed before policy a great deal in our country. There have been medical organizations and government organizations on board supporting everything from lead and tobacco to asbestos. It's only a matter of time. The science changes first, and there is a real concern here. And I do, again, think we need to look at these better alternatives for the kids that we all care about, and they exist right here in Oregon. This policy has not been shown to help low-income kids in city after city after city. Let's do better here. And again, let's remind folks, like, we're voting. Like, ballots are, if some people have even handed them in. So please do go to 1125 Southeast Madison, cleanwaterportland.org. $30 goes a long way, and hit the streets. This is a grassroots effort, and we are voting right now.
Yeah, you know, by the way, folks, you know, the money that has been collected by the pro-fluoride group is enormous compared to the very small amount of money that the anti... It's like 6-1. So, and apparently, you know, the chemical industry has a lot of money. But I want to be clear about something. I don't want to demonize the many sincere people who believe in fluoridation for helping children. This is not about bad people and good people. This is about policy and the wisdom of a medication of our entire water supply. And that's where our focus really should be. All right, 231-8187. Laura, you're on the air.
Hi. I live in Vancouver and Washougal. Mm-hmm. And I've taken advantage of the ABCD dental program.
Mm-hmm.
And the last time I took my kids to the dentist, they offered, you know, the topical fluoride, and I've just been always pretty iffy about the fluoride. I don't put it in their toothpaste because, you know, when you're teaching an infant how to brush their teeth, they're going to swallow it.
That's true.
You know, so if it's not okay for babies to have, then it's probably not okay for a lot of people to have.
Yeah, you bring up a couple...
Anyway, the dentist noticed that my children's teeth were impeccable, and she said, well, how is this possible? You don't use fluoride, and my kids' teeth are a wreck, and I'm a dentist, and I give them fluoride. And I told her I supervise their brushing. I don't allow a two-year-old to be in charge of their own dental health. Every time they brush, I am in there with them, supervising it, and I do a follow-up. And I've noticed that a lot of parents, they say, go brush your teeth. And they allow their toddlers to be in charge of their own dental health. And really, that's like saying, you know, go give yourself your own medicine. You know, go give yourself a shot.
You bring up...
You know, your insulin. It's ridiculous. That's you, their health.
You bring up
okay,
a couple
well,
of...
I want to thank you for the call. We're going to try to take as many calls as possible, and your points are very good. Kelly, did you want to make some
Yeah, just some great comments? Points, but I will again... I'm so glad that you got into the ABCD program, because again, that's what's working in Washington State, and we can do those programs right here. And our campaign's not saying that kids simply need to brush their teeth more or even eat better. What we're saying is that these initiatives are actually what our kids need. And, you know, I do feel that many families do supervise their kids brushing their teeth, but our kids in low-income communities really need dental access, and that's really important here.
And one of the ironies I want to add to this is culturally, certain communities tend to use bottle feeding of infants more than other communities. Cultural issues involved, a lot of issues involved, privacy questions for women in our weird culture and so on. The bottom line there is that if fluoride is adopted for the water supply, as far as I can tell, we will be in violation of the best wisdom of the dental community and the healthcare community in general in terms of the makeup of those formulas that are being fed to the children. This is really, really, really a massive approach to some serious healthcare issues that need to be addressed in a more realistic manner. Anyway, I want to hear from you. If you disagree with Kelly, if you disagree with me, you're more than welcome. 231-8187. Ron, you're on the air.
Yeah, I'd like to add that, and thanks for taking my call, but I think this is terrible. It's one thing to say that, you know, you're going to force feed children, which is, I think, is egregious, wrong error, but I'm an adult, and, you know, I'd be affected by this. Of course, I'd be taking in this fluoride, you know, in the middle of the night and everything, and I feel like my teeth aren't the best right now, but that's because I of my dieting. But fortunately, I have health insurance. That a job, new job I'm starting next week.
Congratulations!
I have full dental benefits as well, and I feel like that's going to be the only thing that's going to correct my situation by now. But forcing fluoride into my water, and from what I understand, that the quality of this water is supposed to have been good. You know, I think they're going to affect it, and it also seems like it's very X-File-ish for like some type of conspiracy. The underlying, because, you know, how come they just can't make it available and just like you said, you know, increase the quality of access to it instead of force feeding everybody? And that's all I have to say.
Okay, thank you very much for the call.
Yeah, thanks for your call. I can't comment on any conspiracy. Again, I'm a physical therapist. I got interested in this as a mother, looking at the product and the benefit of it topical, not being swallowed. You bring up a great point again with the access. Let me remind viewers, in case you're just tuning in, any low-income child in the state of Oregon has access to insurance through the Healthy Kids, Healthy Oregon initiative. We need to get these kids into these programs for better access that will truly help their oral health and not just add more chemicals to their water.
We also, I mean, $7 million, we could be building a bunch of dental clinics in every neighborhood in the city.
Yeah, and let's be clear, that $7 million isn't a cap bill. It's undefined. If you read the language, it's truly...
Sorry, go ahead.
It's truly not a defined bill. It's going to be paid by our water rate increases. They're already going up. There's even a review, I think, next week of water rates.
Wait a minute. Our water rates are going to definitely go up because of the fluoride?
Oh, absolutely. We're paying for this through our water rate increases. And again, let's think about Randy Leonard and all his special projects with the Portland Water Bureau. This is just another one. He rushed this through, so we're not looking fiscally at the numbers. If you take a city like Sacramento, their operation and maintenance costs have been estimated at $40 million over 20 years. Surely our operating and maintenance costs are going to go up. And it's just an undefined bill at this point in time that rate users will pay through their water bill.
Okay, well, we want to get some more callers in. If you're just tuning in, this is KBOO, 90.7, your FM dial. My guest is Kelly Barnes, and we're talking about fluoridation. And I hope you stay tuned. And I am outraged. I think this program is a very foolish thing to have happened, and there's not been an adequate discussion of the pros and cons of fluoridation in the public. The newspapers and the television stations have essentially shut out the people who are opposed and suggested that they're just the crazy kooks. Well, it's interesting. The people who most significantly oppose fluoridation are very often well-educated people. There are people on the right, people with whom I would not agree on anything, and people on the left, and people in the middle. It's not some kind of mean conspiracy against children's teeth by any means. This this effort to stop fluoridation is based on science. It's based on the questionable data that the pro-fluoride people are pushing forward. It's really a question of whether you want to believe an establishment policy that is dominated by industries and so on, or whether you want to look at it in terms of civil liberty, civil rights, and health care in a larger context. So let's hear from you. 231-8187. Michael, you're on the air. Michael? No, Michael. We'll go to Jack, you're on the air. Are our lines sort of not happening?
I'm here.
Oh, hi.
Yeah.
Right. Great. Welcome.
Okay. I just a simple point here. I don't know how many brands are have this. I buy the cheapest toothpaste I can find because, frankly, I'm poor, and so if you figure that most poor people probably do the same thing, I'm looking at the toothpaste, the tube right here in my hand right now, active ingredient. Sodium monofluoral phosphate, 0.75%, and then 0.14% WV fluoride ion. These are the active ingredients. There's a whole bunch of other ingredients that are in that are not considered to be active ingredients. But if people simply brush their teeth with fluoridated toothpaste, it seems like it's a pretty simple solution to me. I don't know what you think about it.
No, I think you raised a very significant point. Kelly, do you want to comment on that?
You bring up two points. The fluoride in your toothpaste is pharmaceutical grade, and that's not what they're adding to our water. Fluosilicic acid is different than the sodium fluorides that you just suggested, one of them in the active ingredients. And, you know, it's not a mineral. It's not a nutrient. You know, we're adding more arsenic and lead and other metals. And, again, our campaign is not saying, like, we simply need to brush teeth more. What we're saying is we have better alternatives. Our Healthy Kids, Healthy Organ initiatives for health care for all low-income children, Obama's health care, you know, adding dollars into the state to help this, federally funded first tooth programs. These are working in other states for low-income children. They can work here. And for your viewers that want more technical information, there have been some debates on the Multnomah County Dem site, as well as through Willamette Week, and you can look at those and also talk about in more detail.
Yeah, and I want to add, at the very least, before you vote on this, you need to really, really know what the heck you're doing. What is your address?
I think somebody was, again, asking. We just had a question come in. CleanWaterPortland.org. You can reach out and make contact there. And also, that's where you can volunteer and come down to the campaign office, 1125 Southeast Madison Street.
Okay. So you if you want to know more from the people who are concerned about fluoridation, that's the URL. There are many, many sites on this subject. If you are unclear or need more information, it's available. It really is. So at least be thoroughly informed before you vote on this. Don't take some kind of conventional wisdom and set of assumptions as being the absolute truth on this matter. All right, I want to hear from you. 231-8187, the topic is fluoridation. The proposal in the ballot that you have right now, probably on your desk or somewhere, is saying essentially with very vague language, very vague language, shall the city of Portland fluoridate its water? Not what kind of fluoride, not how much fluoride, not anything beyond, shall the city fluoridate the water? And that really itself bothers me. All right, 231-8187. Michael, you're on the air.
Hi. I think it's important first just to point out that if you go to the Portland Water Bureau's website, an equally hated bureau, you will, from all sides, you'll see that what they intend to put on is hexafluorosilicic acid. It's hard to pronounce.
Yes.
I've read somewhere and had several friends tell me if you're reading labels and it has too many syllables and you can't pronounce it, maybe you might not want to eat it.
Yeah, similar to never eating anything bigger than your head.
Right,
but go ahead.
Right. But at any rate, if you just look for that and see that's what they want to put in it, and then just go look up the MSDS on it, it goes beyond not wanting to do that. It also talks about breathing vapors. So
wow.
We have hot tubs. We have people taking steam baths, boiling coffee. It's an accumulative effect. It's forever. So that aside, I think it's really important that we look at the structure of how this was done. And even though many of us would sound like conspiracy theorists, well, if the other side of if sides are presented, this goes way beyond presenting a problem like an Anison commercial where you have, they show us the inside of our head as little springs and hammers, and that's the problem. And then lo and behold, they have the solution to it. Well, they're going beyond presenting us with the problem. They've instilled their disinformation into a bunch of small groups of people, putting a wedge in the population of Portland to divide us, and who stands to gain by that? You're never going to see who they are. You have to study their scat. You have to study what they leave behind in the structure and the way they do what they do. They divide, and that's how they conquer. They look at any means that you would have, like the solution you were thinking of. You're going to sue the city and force them to do it. Well, what are they going to do? They're going to use our tax dollars to fight the lawsuit. They win. They're going to pay bottled water companies to help you, or they're going to buy you a filter. Tax dollars are going to do that. The problem is still there. You're still going to be getting it through your skin. You're still going to be getting it through vapors. The fish are still going to be, the land is still going to be polluted. I know I'm sounding forced speech, but I feel like you. This is insane. It's like the Iraq war, where they present this double bind, psychological double bind to us. Well, I'm against the war, but I'm for the troops. And, well, gee, of course I'm for children, but this isn't the way you do what they want to do. This is systemically poisoning the population. And although it sounds like some sort of John Birch Society crazy stuff or some scene out of a Stanley Kubrick movie, the point is that all you have to do is look at the website, see the chemical they want to put in, and then look up the science. Look up an MSDS sheet, and you'll see what it is. And within 3 minutes, I'm sure anybody would see this isn't something I want to do. So all of the groups who are for this, I believe, are being manipulated into thinking someone is trying to keep you from saving your children. And there they are. Look, you see, there they are over there. And they just point the finger and set us against each other so that we are battling about this fluoride thing. And the big picture is the people who are behind this and putting everybody up to this. The doctors who all agree on fluoride, well, yeah, okay, so fluoride's good. But that's not what they want to do. Why don't we talk to the doctors about hexafluorosalicylic acid and see if they still think that's good?
No, I think your points are very good, and I appreciate you. We're just running out of time, man, so I'm going to have to let you go.
Thank you.
Bye. Bye-bye. All right, I want to thank you, Kelly Barnes, for being here. I want to remind people you have a chance to vote on this. You have a chance to reach out to people on it. Whether you're for or against the measure, you need to participate with knowledge. Go to various websites, look it up. I'm convinced, absolutely, that you should vote no on this particular fluoride proposal. Thank you very much. Stay tuned. KBOO is great, and we'll always be working for you.
Through a hole in the air, from those gnats in Tiananmen Square. It's coming from the field that this ain't exactly real, or it's real, but it ain't exactly there. From the war against disorder, sirens night and day, from the fires of the homeless, from the ashes of the gay, democracy is coming.
Good morning. You're listening to KBOO Portland. It's a minute after 9 o'clock. Here's what's coming up this morning on KBOO. First on Alternative Radio, Thomas Lindsay of the Community Environmental Legal Defense Fund speaks on corporations, communities, and the environment. At 10, Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary with Chris Andre. At 10:15 on Flashpoints, chemical weapons in Syria used by U.S.-backed rebels, according to the U.N. Also, anti-torture activists gear up to protest Bush's pro-torture proponent John Yoo's participation in this year's UC Berkeley Law School graduation. And at 11, on stage and studio, D-May Roberts presents Ing Doc Hay, Frontier Herbalist, as part of Asian Pacific American Heritage Month. And at 11:30 on Art Focus, Joseph Gallivan interviews Diane Durston of the Portland Japanese Garden about the show of sculpture by Isamu Noguchi, the famed Japanese American artist. Thanks, KBOO members, for your generous support for this radio station. If you are not a member, you can become one by going to kboo.fm and clicking on Donate Today. Now here's Alternative Radio.
And so they decided to begin writing these ordinances to directly challenge those legal doctrines which keep our communities subordinate to those corporations. Because they understood that sustainability is impossible unless those people who are directly affected by the unsustainable practices are the ones who are deciding whether those practices occur.
That's Thomas Lindsay, and this is Alternative Radio. I'm David Barsamian. This edition of AR features Thomas Lindsay on corporations, communities, and the environment. Communities across the country trying to stop a wide range of threats and unwanted projects, such as gas drilling and fracking, mining, pipelines, factory farming, sewage sludging, landfills, coal shipments, and GMOs, all run into the same problem. They don't have the legal authority to say no to them. With their high-priced lawyers and huge political influence, corporados shape the law. That may be changing. A recent court ruling in Pennsylvania says that corporations are not persons. They cannot elevate their private rights above the rights of people. Others can't wait for the legal system to catch up. Sandra Steingraber, noted biologist and scholar, shortly after appearing on Bill Moyers and on this program, has gone to jail. In an act of civil disobedience, Steingraber and others blocked the entrance to a natural gas storage facility in the pristine Seneca Lakes region of upstate New York. Our guest today is Thomas Lindsay. He's an attorney and co-founder and executive director of the Community Environmental Legal Defense Fund and serves as its chief legal counsel. He's the author of Be the Change: How to Get What You Want in Your Community. His work has been featured in the New York Times, the Los Angeles Times, Mother Jones, and The Nation. He spoke at the Public Interest Environmental Law Conference at the University of Oregon in Eugene. And now, Thomas Lindsay.
So let's get down to business. This is being recorded for about 120 radio stations across the United States, thanks to David Barsamian on Alternative Radio. And that basically means I can't swear, which is what I usually do during these presentations. And so let's get down to it. We're f***ed. So generally when I say that at smaller events, and they're going to have to bleep that out, I understand, I'm sorry, David, that there's generally three things that people say to me. They say, well, you can't say that, right? Because if you say that, then people lose hope. And when people lose hope, they won't do anything. They won't appeal regulatory permits. They won't get active in doing regulatory work. They won't try to ask corporations to do X, Y, and Z for them. The second thing people say is that, well, if we say it's